Blog Talk Radio.
Sidewalk, I'm your host, Psychic Medium Kevin Baird. I want to thank you guys for being here today. Hi, hello, how are you? Just another day in paradise, hanging out here just after Halloween, right before Thanksgiving. And we got a big cold front rolling in. One that's about to pass and wave over the right side of the country, not the left coast, but the right coast. So, I was thinking today about a client session that I had earlier this morning, where they were talking about how it was a challenge for them to really be comfortable in the world, basically. Like, everybody else is doing well, everybody else is being successful, they're fine, you know, everybody around them is doing really well, they're doing fine, they are not. The client was just frustrated that they feel like they were born on the wrong planet. And this is really just a sign and a symbol that you are, for you guys who feel that way, are sort of indigo children or crystal children or rainbow children. You have to go and Google all that to find out more about it. But you're not normal. You're not of the normal world, normal conduct of people. Like, there probably are, I don't know, for every 20 people, there is a indigo or rainbow person, someone who, you know, has a spiritual quest set out for them, whether they decide to follow it or not. And that got me to thinking about how they are challenged by things just not working for them as easily as it's working for other people. And I was talking to my spirit guide, or just deep in thought, and accessing her. Her name is Stacy. And we were having a discussion mentally going back and forth about how where you place your attention grows. And what you focus on grows. And that there are some of us who, and many of us will agree back and forth, that there are some times when we're thinking about something or someone, and then all of a sudden it will appear. Whether it's we were thinking about somebody, and then they call us, or they show up at the door, or we were thinking about a song, and then it starts playing on the radio, or on our iPod, depending on how we listen to our music, or if it's a word spoken on the radio or on a street sign as you're walking or something, just happens to show up. That comes from accessing the energy of manifestation. And I call that MYN, M-Y-N. It's like mass versus altitude, you know, the height on a graph, and then the N is the outcome. So M as in, you know, Mike, and then Y as in Yankee, and then N as in Nancy. And MYN is the energy that drives manifestation. It's sort of like chi. But chi, according to the feng shui and those philosophies, is an energy force that flows everywhere that keeps a balance where energy, and it's a term that I've coined myself, and then you can find out more about it by going to my website, templeofgaia.com. But when we are thinking about something, and it shows up, or they call us, or we see it on TV, or we hear it playing on our iPod, we sort of accessed that manifestation energy. We sort of programmed something that we want to see happen into the universe just by having that thought bubble that goes out there and does that. Pop. This client this morning is one of those talented people. And that for those of you who are listening to this special episode, and all the walking on the sidewalk episodes are the same thing, so you'll never know what the contents is of any of the shows, because the one that you choose to listen to is the one that's right for you at the moment that you're listening to it. So those of you who are out there in the call queue, not really having any questions, but being online or they're listening live through the other means, iTunes, that stuff, that this is for you and the now. When you put, and some people call it an intention, whether you recognize that you're putting an intention out there or not, when you put that intention out there, it starts to take on a solid form. And then it ends up coming back to you. And the client today is likely one of those talented people to where they, you know, put something out there where they're going to try something, but then they sort of undermined the positive potential for the outcome by knowing that it's not going to work out, and why should they bother? Well, as soon as you put that kind of power and that kind of energy, and that you are an indigo child or a rainbow child, or you have someone who tends to have things that you are thinking about happen sometime after, you're creating this outcome for yourself. And it's sort of like you're testing yourself to see how you can overcome these challenges. But sometimes we can just get really tired of constantly testing ourselves. But if that's something that we were raised to do based on the dialogues that happen in our household at the time that we were being raised, then saying those things and undermining our potential positive outcomes by saying the negative things guarantees us negative outcomes. The challenge is to stop and stifle those negative creations. Like, put a positive thought out there and then release it, and don't think about any of the negative potentials like, oh, I want to do this, but I know that this will happen or that will happen or that will happen, and then boom, like, it doesn't happen, and it failed. See, I told you it was going to fail. And that you can validate your observation, but really it's your validating your manifestation. A little bit of a challenge. And what I have been suggesting to people over the years, since like 2000, 2001, something like that, is to say something positive. Like when you're dreading something and that you can't put your hands on it to change it, but you're caught in that gloom cloud up at the ceiling and you're thinking about all the stuff you're dreading that's going to happen tomorrow or potentially could happen tomorrow, and that you can't put your hands on anything that's in the tomorrow because you have your head on the pillow, you're looking up at the ceiling, and that you're supposed to be laying yourself down for sleep and reconnecting to that after place that we go to after we've been awake for a while. You have to say, take charge over your thoughts and say, I want to be more comfortable than what I am right now. And you have to say it again and again and again sometimes. And if you really get stuck to where the I want to be more comfortable thing isn't working, then I have a mind and mental meditation that is a manifestation of a structure that you put yourself within. It's sort of a variation of the box meditations that are out there where you take all the things that are bothering you, all the stresses that are bothering you, and you put it in the box, and you lock the box, and you walk away from it. That sort of works, but sometimes we have a universe or even a world of things that bother us. Oh, this is really happening. I can't wait to get to where I need to drop these off. And if you're a construction worker, you could be doing that all day. You could end up moving 4, 5, 10, depending on your strength and, you know, wherewithal to maintain energy and strength to get the job done kind of stuff. But you put that brick in the center or have it be there and looking at it. And then look at the details in the surface area of the brick. What's the shape? You know, if you remember, some of the schools out there have those big masonry bricks that have those just little sort of like a soubrette texture to the surface of it where it has all the little nooks and crannies kind of stuff. And some of those are filled in by the paint that has been painted over it. I'm just looking at it. I'm pausing here a couple of times just to let you hold that thought in your mind. So you're looking at the brick right now as you are seeing me speak right now. This is a live version of walking on the sidewalk here. Seeing the brick. And then once you've examined it enough, tile floor, concrete floor, and the vibration of the four legs as it passes upward through your spine to your head, through your back, sort of like sometimes nails on a chalkboard, a squeakiness kind of thing. Stand up and then slide the chair under the table. And then, having yourself in this gray room, look down and see your leg there, that the upper part of your torso is shrouded or, you know, in the shadows. So let there be a little bit of a silence. And then imagine that this brick is on display. So think think about the last time that you had an interaction with that person and how did it go? Can you remember what you were wearing at the time, what you were talking about at the time? Was it just after having dinner? Was it right before having dinner? Was it getting out of school? Was it right before going into school? What you've done as you're contemplating how you remember where this last person was that you met in the gray, that you met in the gray room, is a sort of like a spirit guide kind of connection, but the spirit guide has the face of someone that was familiar to you. And really what it is, it's an active store of a memory that you possess, that you sort of personified and turned it into a being. And it's right about this time that you would likely fall asleep because you entered into a dialogue mentally by accessing that memory and the experience that you had when you last met that person. All this now is playing in your mind, and it's cleansing the slate of the previous thoughts that had you so overwhelmed about trying to control something that was really bothering you, that you are now able to relax and then sleep and get mentally prepared for the thing happening tomorrow. And for you guys who are in the call queue, if you want to ask me a question or want to do a reading or something, you have to press 1, just so you know, and then the electronic person there will notify me that there's someone in the call queue who wants to ask a question or add a comment or something. Or I'm also doing readings tonight. But yes, you have sort of cleansed the slate. But I've been talking about the gray room, and you can ask the chief producer, Daniel Michael, that I have been talking about gray room meditations for some time. But I've also been talking about the yellow bug, the yellow Volkswagen Beetle. I also call it the hug bug. Whenever you see the yellow bug, that means that you are supposed to stop thinking or worrying about whatever it is and move on to the next thing. So when you see the yellow bug again, I'm thinking about the gray room thing and the details there. When you see the yellow bug, that means to stifle, to stop worrying about whatever it is that you're thinking about at the time that you see the yellow bug and move on to the next thing so that you can stop doing that manifestation of those negative things that have been bothering you. I have been talking about the yellow bug for so long that I have a few friends who write for primetime television, and that they had took my yellow bug message and written it into their shows, and that the heroes or the helper heroes drive yellow bugs. One show is Grimm, and I think that's on ABC, and then another one is the other one is Grimm, and then the other one is Once Upon a Time. They have yellow bugs in there and let you know that everything's going to be okay. All right, so here's someone who's got their hand up. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. Hi.
I'm on.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for calling in. How can I help you?
Hello, Kevin. My name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What?
I'd like to know if I can get a general reading. Is that possible?
Sure.
Great.
All right. Yeah. So straight away, what I see for you, Tom, is that there's someone around you, it could be a group, individual, who is sort of been in a stuck place, and that they are going to sort of be escaping from it, or that they just recently did escape. I use my Horizon Oracle cards, and I'm looking at the PEN card, P-E-N, and it's associated with the time 840. And it shows someone who's sort of out of a box and looking at the other people who are a little stranded and can't seem to get out of it. Now, what's going to happen is that once that person gets disconnected or completely lets go, they're going to start working with you on something that will help get the two of yours future going. I'm looking at the Means card, M-E-A-N-S, and it's associated with the time 721, and that's facing away as well. So this says that there is someone who is likely fed up with what's going on in their world, and that they are now ready to start doing something else, and that they are going to approach you. So all you have to do is wait, and they will find you. And I read for like the next 90 seconds out to like 90 days, but I feel like come Thanksgiving, you're going to have a lot more to give thanks for.
Okay.
And that's what I see.
That sounds great. That's great. Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. That could be one of two people. Can you tell if it's an older person or a younger person my age?
Okay, now this, what's interesting is that I'm looking at, it's somebody that you have worked with before, because I'm looking at the profession card, and it's associated with the time 744, and it's facing away. So this talks about someone in a profession that you were associated with, and then I've also drawn the 807 card, and the title for this is Double Duty, and this one is facing you. So they're going to come in, and they're going to give you a lot of work to do if they haven't already, and that you're going to
mm-hmm.
find yourself working night and day. So just wait and see. Say that again.
Two people still come to mind.
It could be both. Because it's the double duty card, it's likely that you could be working for both of them.
Okay. Twice as hard.
It's always good to have a plan B in case you need to fall back on something.
Yeah. It always is good. I just don't have a plan B right now.
From what I'm seeing with the cards that I've just talked about, they will be finding you. So you have a B and a C, likely. Like, it could be that the plan C would be family wanting to put you to work doing something whenever you've already got these side things with other people doing things, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I work better with family.
And that's what I see.
Very good. Well, thank
you
very much.
All right, Tom, thanks for calling. Yep, you're welcome.
Hey,
hang in there. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so for you guys that are new in the call queue, if you want to ask me a question, you have to press 1 on your phone so that the operator will, the electronic operator will notify me that there's someone in the call queue who has a question, because we have some people who are just there to listen, and other folks will have a question, but they don't know that they're supposed to press 1. It can be complicated sometimes, or that the 1 button, you know, isn't working. So, and also Michelle Ver was asking a question out there in the chat room, wanting to know how she should start workshops. And I suggest to you is to get, find a craft fair and go and get some of your stuff that you've not used in a while. Like if you have a workshop, you probably have things to sell. go to the craft fair and try to have something that looks craft-esque or whatever, or if there's a like a wine festival or wine tasting or something, that they sometimes have other vendors who come in with things that they would like to sell that might be on par with what the main event is supposed to be about. As you go and attend those things, and that you may not sell anything, but you have a great networking opportunity that will help you get connected with other things that are out there that people know about, and it's not been written about or advertised, but they tell you about it. They give you contact information, and then you get the ball rolling that way. So just go get yourself a table, and if you have to, you know, paint old butter knives or something and make it look very artistic and go and sell those. And what it is basically is they're conversation pieces. And that will get the ball rolling for you. And she's saying that she wants to do workshops regarding communication. So is this information technology communication? Is it telephone communication? Smoke signals? Drumming? I'm waiting for her to type there in the chat room. And again, for you guys who are lined up here in the call queue, if you have a question or want a reading, because I'm also doing readings, but I'm also talking about how to sort of clear your mind of stress. And for you guys who are new to the show here, you can go back and listen to an archive, but I was talking about how you can sometimes channel or create or manifest something that will undermine this thing that you hope to see. And you have to focus on or meditate on something that clears your mind of creating these negative things so you can have only positive mechanisms happening in your mind. Because if you are one of the gifted indigo children, rainbow children, that kind of stuff, and you have to go and Google all that to find out, to take the test, you know, answer yes if you are sensitive, all that kind of thing, you have the possibility of manifesting things that occur. And when I was talking about how you can undermine something, it's M-I-N-E, that back in medieval times, when two families or kingdoms were warring, that the one kingdom who was trying to take over a castle would come in and dig the wall of the castle. And then they would shove lots of combustible things under that wall and then set it on fire. And then the masonry and all the concrete and mortar and bricks and everything become overheated and expand and explode, and then the wall falls down. They're able to attack. So instead of trying to go through the wall, they undermine it. So you have this thing that you want to see happen, and that's the fortitude of the wall. But then you think and have negative possibilities that you sort of weave into this thing that you want to see happen, and that goes and digs the dirt out from underneath this fortitude that you want to be a part of something that's a part of your future. So focusing on something that's very positive, or thinking about something completely different, and pinching yourself whenever you find yourself going back to the negative potentials for this outcome that you want to see as positive, and get yourself back off that. And that's where the yellow bug comes in. It reminds us to stop worrying about the things that we're thinking about at the time that we see the yellow bug and move on to something new. So Michelle's asking, I want to do these workshops in other cities, not my own. So you want to travel to go to these places, or what? I would say start small and just work in your surrounding area first. And then, you know, sort of just like, you know, a drop of wine sort of goes out in a circle So we're talking about wine festivals, that kind of stuff. So you can sort of get connected with people who are familiar with the things that are happening around you. So, yeah. So, Michelle, good luck with that. You know, I'm not sure how much more I can help you with that, but, yeah. And for everybody else that's listening, because, you know, Michelle, what you're asking might be apropos for the other people who are listening right now who want to do shops, you know, get out there and start selling things, be their own person. And that's really what the mission statement of Main Street Universe is that we invite you, you know, for those of you who are no longer in the corporate cube. And when we had Tom on earlier, he called in and was looking for a reading. The first card that I drew for him was the pen card, and it shows a box. And that for you guys who are listening in and are able to move around on your computers, that you can go over to my website, it's templeofgaia.com, and on the left-hand column, you see little menu options, and go to the 8 o'clock hour, and then go and find 8:40, and that you'll see the pen image where it shows someone who's looking at people who are stuck in the box. And that there's one friend who's sort of on the outside, and there's a little bit of a wavy road right there. It's not exactly straight or powerful or anything to help them, you know, go on a straight course, that it will be wavy and the direction won't always be specific. So that's what we're about. We are in independently to where they can be their own boss. We also bring guests on from time to time who have been their own boss for years or have just started and have stories and things like that to share as a part of, you know, them being on Main Street Universe, you know, because we're all on that Main Street Universe. And my show is about walking on the sidewalk. As we're walking on the sidewalk, we see certain things that we wouldn't see if we were driving down the road and caught in traffic and caught in the flow and being pressed by the people who are behind us to get moving, and we're pressing possibly the people that are in front of us to get going because we're late or we want to get somewhere on time or we're tired of being on the road. Being on the sidewalk, you are stuck at your own speed, and that you don't have excess energy, which is what the gas tank gives you to help you get to your destination. So meditation is necessary, and walking can help with meditation. And again, we got some new people who are out there in the call queue. If you want a reading, because I'm doing readings here tonight, or have a question or want to add something, that you can just press the one button on your keypad, and the electronic operator will let me know that there's someone, one of you guys, has a question or wants a reading or something like that. But yeah, it's about being outside of the box. Now, I'm using the Horizon Oracle, which is a deck that I designed myself. And it's 111 images of life experiences that we can sometimes go through. And that these images are images that were given to me as a part of me having tarot card combinations. I've been a professional reader since about 2000, and as I've been reading for clients and customers using the regular tarot, come up in like 3 card groups or maybe even 5 card groups, depending. And a specific image would come out of that that would be a message for the client that's in front of me. And it would be a series of messages, just depending on the client session. Well, I have taken those images because they repeat, because a lot of us have the same things that are happening in our life, but at different times in our lives. So I had taken those images. There was over like 180, almost over 200, I would say. But I talked to a bunch of people, and they're like, no, it's got to be between 78 and like 100 or something. And I decided to go with 111 because 111, we all know that is like a divine number. It works out very nicely with a lot of different numerological combinations. And then I wrote sort of like messages and responses and likelihoods associated with the images, and that you can find those by going over to the website. But also, if you look on my website, I've announced that I've just written a book called Horizon Oracle Companion. And basically, it's the 111 with descriptions and also image conjugations, where I've included two cards that in a reading. So I've basically written a story reading with each card in the book, so it would give the people who have a copy of the companion an idea of what the message is for the card if it were to be joined with other cards as a part of the reading. So, and I read in companion groups, which is where you have problem and solution, contrast, you know, contrasting situations, problem and solution, and so on. Because I'm like, I'm thinking about the yellow bug and the gray room, and also I'm trying to talk about the Horizon Oracle. So it's sort of like hard to flip back and forth from a spiritual to a tangible and everything, but that's what I have here. So I've designed a Horizon Oracle. It's sort of like a divination tool for present day people. It's present life experiences. It isn't the ye old images that are so mystical that it's hard to discern what the message is that's coming out of it, especially for lay people or people who are just beginning. Our own boss. And the message that came through for Tom was one to where he's going to be working with someone who is no longer in a box, and that they're finding that they have to now survive on their own means. I've also drawn the means card associated with the time 721, and that's in reverse. And the reverse cards are about the people, situations, and things happening around us. The ones facing us are for us to deal with, or it's a message for us to deal with at the time. So one of our guests, as I've talked about people who are out there sort of surviving on our own, is Diane Arkenstone. She's great for morning meditation. Her music is fantastic. I use it almost every day. And I tell her that all the time, again and again and again. It's like, Diane, your music is so fantastic. I think what I'd like to do here is give you guys sort of like a sample of one of her pieces. And I'm looking at, I guess I'll play the Avalon. And that you can find out more about Diane by going to DianeArkenstone.com. But here is Avalon. And that was Avalon by Diane Arkenstone, A-R-K-E-N-S-T-O-N-E. And that she is a fantastic composer, and that she composes her how she can get more workshops going. So she's trying to make or have a go or to get things going, flowing for her as well. And that she has no idea where to start, and that she's not alone. There's like a gazillion of us who are now at home watching hours upon hours of cable where we lived for the day that we could do that, and now we have it in front of us, and we're not so sure that we're happy with it now because we're sort of getting bored and we don't know what it is that we want to do, and that we get up from the couch, especially when the episode is repeating itself, and we just walk around. It's like, I used to have stuff that was always new that I had to do every day and to help me pay my bills. But now I'm at home and I'm my own boss, and I command myself to sit on the couch, eat pizza, drink beer, and not have to worry about anything. But that gets boring after a while. And it really gets us to where we want to think about how we can make a difference with the things that are happening around us. How can we make ourselves be known for something new to the people, family, friends, neighbors around us, if that's what we want to do? Because that kind of like praise, if you will, isn't exactly a raise, but praise is something that motivates and directs us to sort of like maybe go and do something new and achieve something new. And what is that thing? So what is it that you're good at? What was your talent that people used to talk about that you had before you started working? When between the ages of roughly, what, 9 and 13 or 14, how did people know you, talk about what you were good at, what they liked about you? And then how can you turn that into something that you can monetize to get an income flowing for you, to sort of like reinvent yourself? You have graduated from the place. Relationships are the same way. Like, let's say that you got married in your 20s, but then as you went through your career, you had a lot of changes, you had a lot of dialogues with colleagues and coworkers, managers, supervisors, that kind of stuff. And those dialogues and those experiences and the projects that you worked on changed you from who you were as an early into the job world individual and into a seasoned, capable individual who now sees the world differently. Well, this new person that sees the world differently may also be seen differently by their spouse or primary partner, or that you see your spouse as something different, or that they are different, or that they're not keeping up, or they've lost something. They're not, you know, they're a challenge instead of being a blessing. And it's not, we all are challenges, that's the human nature, but to be a constant daily challenge and to not really seem to like have any pep in the step to keep up is stifling. And that's okay if that's, you know, like if that's something that you can work with. But if it's not helping you as an individual, because that's what relationships are about, partners, teammates, are about helping each other be good at what they do and be okay with what they're doing. And then I got someone who's got their hand up in the call queue there. Let's see what's going on. Hello, person in the call queue. Hi, hello, how are you? How can I help you?
Hi, Kevin, how are you?
Good.
My question is, I was wondering if you had any, if I could ask you a question around career.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was wondering if
and
you
what's
saw
your
a
name?
Job change. My name
what's
is
your
Trish.
Name? Trish. Hello, Trish. Okay, let's look at it as, what do I need to know about a job change? How about that instead of about it?
Great.
Does that, okay, so what do I need to know about a job change? Okay. Is this your first time listening to the show?
It is.
Okay, that's okay. If you have a pen and paper, you'll write down my website, templeofgaia.com, so you can see the cards that I'm reading with right here, because they're of my own design. The first one that I'm looking at is the Bloom card, B-L-O-O-M, and it's associated with the time 531. And this card is facing you. Okay, so it's not facing away, it's not reversed, it's facing us here. And the Bloom card shows a butterfly with the sun and moon on the wings, and that the butterfly is landing on a flower. Now, when a butterfly gets up in the morning, it doesn't go to Starbucks before it begins its day. It just goes and it just starts getting busy. And it goes to the first flower that it happens upon. It doesn't survey the entire garden or field for the best flower first, and then take that one. No, it goes to the first flower that it happens upon. So job change opportunities coming up for you is one to where the Bloom card says that you're going to be presented with an opportunity that you have to say yes to if you want things to change. It may not be the best of all the options that you're familiar with or would like to see, but if you do want change, you know, if you do want a job change situation to take place, that the universe is sort of like giving you a lily pad or a stepping stone that will transition you to the full-on ultimate opportunity that you would have never considered as being awesome until you stepped into it. And then,
oh, interesting.
Now, where are you? Are you on the east side of the U.S. or the left side?
Yeah, I'm on the east coast.
Okay. It could happen, I think, in a week or less, because I'm seeing the Storms card, S-T-O-R-M-S, and it's associated with the time 319, facing away from you here in this thing that we're talking about. And we're about to be hit with the storm, or storms are hitting, depending on where you are. If you're on the top part of the U.S. or the bottom part, this is saying that, and when the card is facing away, especially the Storms card, it talks about storms coming to us or storms that are about to happen. Unless there's some kind of crazy storm happening at the office to where, let's say, the IRS is coming in and doing some kind of crazy kind of audit, or that there's some kind of merger or takeover or something, and that someone's trying to come in and take over the company or something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I see what you're saying, and that's actually a possibility, is someone may take over. That was actually one of my questions.
Okay. So if you look at the Storms card, it shows one person in the frame looking at the storm, and I think that it's you seeing it approaching. So you can plan to see, I would say you're going to be extended an opportunity before the full-on storm hits, and that you will, you know, be saved like the 90-year-old grandmother who came to New York 9 days prior to the big hurricane hitting the Philippines. I don't know if you've seen that story in the news yet or not, but she was very lucky to be here and not be there when the devastation hit. So I'm not saying that some big, you know, tidal wave is going to come in and knock everything down. This is, it's figurative.
Right. What you're saying is that an opportunity comes by before the acquisition, I guess, and the question is, I'm assuming, though, what you are saying is the acquisition isn't necessarily a positive, or you aren't saying.
It's transformational, because I'm looking at the fertility card for you as well, 837, and it's facing you. So 837 facing you, and then the second card, the fourth card, and we're running out of time here, is 840, and that's the pen card, and I drew that for Tom earlier in the show tonight. You should go back and listen to the archive if you can for today's date, But the pen card talks about some people being tossed out on their butt, maybe being let go, laid off, you know, giving a reduction in force payments, that kind of stuff. So you do have a transition happening, but it looks like you're going to be extended an opportunity to move out of that area before it happens. So I would say be ready to say yes, especially with the fertility card right here. This talks about a new birth for you, a new beginning, and how you see yourself differently.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I know we're running out of time. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for calling, Trish. All right, people, we're done. We're done for today. I want to thank everybody for listening, and that you can find out more about me by going to templeofgaia.com. All right, take care. Bye.